Lisa Lundy and Serena White of Fiduciary Services North are not affiliated with Prout Financial Design and LPL Financial. You are under no obligation to use the services of any of the entities referred and may choose any qualified professional to provide tax, CPA, legal, or trust services. These entities and their services are not affiliated with LPL Financial and Prout Financial Design.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner, Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
A WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, April 18th, we're done with those old taxes. 18. Thank you very much. In the rearview mirror, it's great to have you with us, joining us. If you do want to text us today and get in touch, we're preferring or asking if you would, just text us today because we've got an in-depth interview with a couple of guests, which we'll get to in a moment. But our text number, if you would, Ron, is...
You can send us a message at 231 area code 947-0023, 947-0023.
And joining us today, toward the back row, Deanne Jennings, our own Director of Operations. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning. Always happy to be here in the studio.
And Ron's got his hands full.
Yes. You
know, 5 microphones here. Here we go. And then Heidi Cartwright. Welcome, Heidi, our own managing director, too.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm looking forward to our hearing from our guests today.
Yes,
interesting
so
topic.
I think so. I think the listening audience will find this very interesting. If you are listening to the rebroadcast, it is a rebroadcast on Saturday at 9 a.m. But today, of course, you're welcome to text in questions. Just thinking about the previous day and or week, yesterday we had our 529 class, well attended, thank you, lots of great questions on that, and I think some surprising information for the attendees in terms of what was shared. Heidi did a great job, thank you, Heidi, for
doing that yesterday.
Thanks, it was a lot of fun, and lots of questions. I was surprised how many questions people had.
It was so interactive. It was fantastic.
It was. Our own free upper, if you will, you know, teaching classes. Medicare 101 is coming up on May 15th. Don McConnell, Laverna Woodcup, May 15th at noon, 12 to 1. These classes begin and end on the hour. And then June 19th, estate plan wellness check. That one's full, but if you want to be on the waiting list, you can do that with Courtney Danbrook. Again, Don McConnell, Laverna Woodcup, talking about Medicare. And that is good for you if you're just under 65, maybe age 60 or so, at beyond 65 as well, because of the importance of getting your coverages updated. Critical in terms of thinking about, am I covered properly for Medigap insurance and those other extras that go along with regular Medicare coverage. Now, today we have guests from Fiduciary Services North. Fiduciary Services North, Lisa Lundy. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Dennis. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. And we were talking about during the a Monday kind of practice go-round, if you will, that you used to run against my wife in track in high school. Talk about connections in Northern Michigan.
Yes.
And play basketball against her.
I played basketball against her, too. Yeah. Yes,
now, you played for
Frankfurt. Frankfurt High School. Go Panthers.
Ooh, there you are.
Which team won? We need to know.
Did you see their coach? Had to dye his hair purple because...
Oh.
Some of the players years ago said, if we make it in our senior year to the state semi or to the state finals, you have to dye your hair. And they made him dye his hair purple.
Yes,
beautiful.
Nice.
I think that's wonderful. What a wonderful promise to have to keep, huh?
Yeah.
Jill played for the Glen Lake Lakers, which they had an amazing team in those days.
So. They did, but you know what?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
all,
did you?
All 4 years that I was in high school. We beat them in the...
Sorry, your microphone just went off.
We won the districts. Oh,
all of a sudden, the mic goes out.
Yeah.
That's funny. No,
if that's too loud in your ears, you can adjust that, too.
Okay. Yeah, only when Dennis is talking.
Yeah. He's so loud. That so reminds me of Jill. Don't talk so loud. And also, with us, Serena White. Serena, welcome.
Good morning, and thank you for having us.
That's a pleasure. Thank you. Both from Fiduciary Services North, so we have a lot to talk about. But before we begin with them, we wanted to start the program with stats to help us introduce the subject. So if you would, Deanne, help us with the stats for the day.
Absolutely. So I pulled some estate planning and probate stats for you this morning. D.A. Davidson and Company recently released a survey result revealing that only 1 in 3, which would be 34% of American adults, has an estate plan. Of those who do have an estate plan, 20% have not updated their plan in the last 5 years. 72% of women are without an estate plan compared to 59% of men, and that source is Directions Research.
That's interesting that women have are less estate plan ready, if you will, than men are.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why that is.
I wonder if they think we're going to live longer so we have more time.
Perhaps so.
I don't know. 37% of respondents reported that they don't have an estate plan because they feel they don't have enough money to warrant needing one. Not having a estate plan can result in, one, inadvertently passing your assets to heirs in ways you would not have intended.
Or to people you would not have intended.
Yes,
I think
exactly.
That's what they mean.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
It can happen.
Yeah.
Do you guys know anything about that?
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Yeah. We have... Oh, thank you.
If you would, a lot closer to that mic.
Get right into the microphone.
We have one that I'm just about ready to finish up an estate plan, and this woman was single and estranged from her family, but had a home on a lake and had no will, had nothing taken care of, and she sadly passed away from cancer. We were able to sell the home and any other assets that she had. And her sister, who had absolutely nothing to do with her most of her life, inherited all of that because she did not have an estate plan to, her wishes, I'm sure, would have been not to give it to her sister because of their relationship, but her sister got all the money.
Under the probate rules, according to the state of Michigan,
received
the funds.
Yes, because she was the closest blood relative.
Preset rules, according
exactly.
to probate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sad. Yeah.
Not having an estate plan can also result in taxation and family strife. Mm.
Speaking of family strife, rather, if I can say it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Deanne. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
32% of Americans don't have an estate plan because they've been procrastinating, and 25% don't have a plan because they don't know where to start, and that source is Directions Research. It can be overwhelming to know where to start.
Yeah. And who likes to talk about, people don't like to talk about when you die.
Right.
Like, we've talked before about the hardest things are talking about money and death and what you want to happen. So it's a difficult conversation.
Yeah, it is difficult. And what's interesting is that our society in general tends to be one of the least free, if you will, to talk about the realities of death and dying as a part of the conversation. So today. We'll talk a bit more about that. You bet.
And this next stat, we talked about a little briefly in our meeting prior to the radio show. Less than one-third, 30% of respondents accurately understand that what a healthcare power of attorney is. So less than one-third understand what healthcare power of attorney is. And healthcare power of attorney is written document, excuse me, in which you designate someone as your representative or agent to make medical decisions on your behalf, should you be unable to do so. If no healthcare power of attorney exists, the law designate the person next to kin, and sometimes the complexities of family relationships can complicate those matters.
Did you have anything to add to that, Lisa? Do you see those kinds of issues?
Yes.
Weigh in? Okay, you do.
Yes. Especially if there's more than one child involved in the family and they all have opinions, and you know, mom goes into the hospital and you know, one of them wants to have this done, one of them wants to have that done, and they all feel as though they have the right to make the decision because they are her blood relatives. And a lot of times it just is so confusing. So if you do have someone designated as your medical power of attorney, it alleviates all those problems.
Wow. Okay. So that's the beginning, if you will. In my mind, it would be one of the first things you'd want done.
And medical power of attorney. Powers of attorneys, yeah. And durable power of attorney, yes.
Because your chances of becoming disabled or needing some sort of care, obviously, are much greater than your death.
Right. Your incapacitation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I know something at the office we run into is there is a difference between a health power of attorney and a financial power of attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Make sure you have...
So the financial relates to all the financial assets.
Yes,
correct.
And what sort of interventions you want done or need from that power of attorney as well? Who's going to step in if you can't make those decisions for the financial decision for the
correct.
Financial parts of things?
Yes.
All right, great.
We have a message, a text message that may fit in here. Maybe an easy answer. What's the difference between an estate plan and a will? Oh,
Serena. Yeah.
I see that hand.
I see that hand, indeed.
Well, I think one of them is the estate plan can normally incorporate will be your will, and that will tell you what happens with your personal assets and who receives those assets if something was to happen to you. They're normally accompanied by a trust also that you would have. And a lot of times, you know, any assets that don't get properly titled to your trust, then that will would come into play of transferring those assets into your trust.
This is what I love about this conversation, because often we get involved in these estate planning conversations. It seems like a far off, nebulous, gray area. And then you... guys, I'll just say, get to come in, and you actually, this is where the rubber hits the road.
Yes.
You're the ones who actually get to make these things, well, attempt to make them work.
Yes.
And in many cases, where things aren't working because people are no longer involved that were before, and yeah. or the children are too distant, all these sorts of things can mm-hmm. come up.
And another thing with estate planning / will, that would go through probate. So if you only have a will, then everything will have to go through probate.
Okay.
The trust does not have to go through probate.
But so a will can be part of an estate plan.
Correct.
If you have a will only that you've drafted up with a lawyer or by yourself, mm-hmm. and you say, here's all my stuff and money and who gets it, and you pass away, that still has to go through probate?
It does.
If you don't have the trust, normally the will is going to direct to the trust.
Yes. Okay. So yes. Then a personal representative has to be appointed. If your will should state who your personal representative, who you want as your personal representative,
wow.
then they have to file a lot of paperwork with probate and hopefully have the original will. Because that makes it a lot easier.
Jeez. And you avoid that by saying you have an estate plan. Now, what if you have an estate plan but no trust?
It's
so
the
what's
same.
In it besides a will?
So the estate is your assets.
Okay.
That is what your estate is. So, and really, your will is the estate. Directs the estate for your assets. So what most of the estate trust planning does is they create the will. And then the will pours over into the trust. So the assets, your personal assets that are in the will, the estate, would then go to the trust. As long as they are titled correctly.
So why do you want to avoid probate? You want your designated person or your family to avoid probate. Why? If you have a clear-cut will, is it really a big hassle and expense?
Okay, actually, interrupt just here for a moment. Deanne has the next stat that
can
direct
us
to
that.
Okay, one more stat. Let's talk about
that. It might shed some light on
that.
You bet. How long does an estate stay in probate in Michigan?
Uh-huh.
Although Michigan does not stipulate a legal time frame, filing a probate petition as soon as possible will be everybody's best interest. The probate process takes a minimum of 5 months in Michigan, but most probate cases take between 6 months and a full year. In contested cases, probate can take even longer, and that source is stateofmichigan.gov.
Serena, weigh in if you would.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, too, with you might be named as a personal representative, or they used to call it an executor of a will. You cannot start acting on that will until it has been probated. And again, that can take some time to happen. There is a lot of paperwork that needs to be filed. Sometimes if anything's contested, there's got to be a hearing, and the courts are setting months out on those hearings. And in the meantime, nothing can be handled with your estate or your assets until that is taken care of. Unlike a trust, where a trustee can typically start working right away and not have to go through the probate to do that.
Now, to be clear, the will doesn't direct beneficiaries. If you've named primary and contingent beneficiaries on annuities, on life insurance, on IRAs, and all the rest. Mm-hmm. So the beneficiaries come before the will, if you will, no pun intended. Mm-hmm. So those pass outside of that. And then also by order of law, if you will, if you've named real estate properly. But as you were talking, Serena, I was thinking if it's a joint tenancy, if you will, with property, real estate, if both spouses have passed away, guess what? It's a probated asset then, because it's not directed through that real estate ownership or the legal form.
And that's one good thing about a will. It's kind of like an umbrella of, you know, you might think that you have all your assets titled properly and they're going to so-and-so and, you know, everything's been got a beneficiary, a contingent beneficiary. But a lot of times we see that there are assets missed or not properly titled. Or we've had instances where the spouse dies quick, too, and they don't claim it. And, you know, there's issues that arise that will can then step in and take care of.
And another thing that with a will or an estate filing through probate, we have to file a notice to creditors that has to go into the newspaper, and it has to be out there for 120 days before we can do anything.
Wow. 4 months. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you're saying probate could take a little longer than a year?
Yes.
Wow. So
have you
much
seen
longer,
it last longer than a year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You've seen it last
years. Some
years?
Several years.
Wow. It all depends on how the assets are titled and identified, too, if they're not easily found. We've had instances where we find real estate later on down the line, years later, that was not ever transferred correctly.
And then we have to sometimes we have to open up another estate.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So a property in the UP that everybody forgot about, if you will.
Oh, we did have some property in the UP.
Really? Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Deanne, for the stats. Very, very helpful. Absolutely. Now, Heidi, you've got a personal story related to a client, in essence, a dual client relationship, and I wanted you to share that too, if you would, please.
Yeah, so we had Lisa and Brenda, who also works at Fiduciary Services North, on the show many years ago. I can't remember,
I think
5 years ago?
Maybe three or 4 years.
Okay.
It was 4 years ago.
Four, so right in the middle.
Yeah.
So we had talked about what they do and some of the services they provided. And one thing we had talked about during that show was their contracted bill payment service. And I had a client come in, an older lady, and she was living on her own. And she just expressed to me her frustration that she was getting so confused, and she couldn't pay her bills anymore, and she was afraid things were going to get shut off. And so I recommended that she call Lisa and talk to her, and they were able to work together and solve her problems. And what I thought was great is they walked with her through progression of things that happened, and when she had to go into care, all of her children lived out of state, and Lisa was able to help her find a new place to live, help sell the home, all these things that happened. And it's such a vital service, and it made such a difference to her, because we could see her struggling, and it's hard when things become too much for you.
Yeah, she was really well, and COVID had really done a number. But I did start off as a bill pay for her, and it morphed into she named me her power of attorney, her personal representative, and the trustee of her trust.
Okay, so you are recognized amongst five counties.
Actually, seven.
Seven counties now, as a among their courts,
yes.
Probate courts.
Yes.
What recognition is that?
Through those counties, one of the things that we do is we get named as a guardian and conservator for people, but we also, in many instances where there is a dispute over a will or an estate or even a trust, we have judges that will call us and say, we need to get rid of this personal representative, or the trustee is not doing their job. Will you step in?
So they have you help manage the estates that they're trying to settle themselves,
yes,
where there are issues with family members and or details, business aspects of that of that probate or that estate,
yes,
that are not getting taken care of properly.
Correct.
Quick text question. Can you explain the differences, pros, cons of a quitclaim versus a ladybird deed, which I've never heard of?
Oh, you've never heard of a ladybird deed?
No.
They're great.
So, Serena?
Serena.
Well, one of the things, we are seeing ladybird deeds more often, and quite a few times they are recommended because they do allow transfer of the property immediately at death. Just you provide a death certificate and that property immediately transfers. And then there are also tax.
The taxes don't come uncapped. Yeah. It'll transfer directly to whomever is named, and it's usually a family member.
So the real estate taxes,
correct,
stay at the previous rate, in essence, for the previous owner, which is a real positive.
Yeah.
For those who want to continue owning the property, children, in essence, yeah.
And so a lot of times you'll see the ladybird deed. If you have one beneficiary and you're going to be transferring that property to them, it makes sense to have the ladybird deed. It just immediately goes to them, and they don't have to probate it. They don't have to file it through a trust or anything. A quitclaim deed is sometimes where maybe the person currently owns it jointly, and then upon their passing, it would transfer to their trust, we see. We're seeing a lot more of the ladybird deeds, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of the attorneys in the area that we work with are recommending ladybird deeds for people.
So when do you set that up?
When you do your estate planning.
Through your attorney. Your attorney can help you set that up, Ron.
Yes.
And does it have to be to a family member? Or
no.
Okay. So whoever you transfer to, the tax rate stays the
same.
I don't think
it works that way with other people. You can do a ladybird deed to anybody, I believe, but the taxes aren't the
same.
And
you'd want to talk to your attorney and accountant probably about that too. But yes, there are a lot of benefits to doing the ladybird deed and making that process seamless too for the beneficiary.
We had a guest on the show a while back who, her mother did a ladybird deed, and she said that was the best thing ever done. It was just seamless. It was so helpful.
Does anybody know why they call it that?
Yes. It's because of her.
Oh, she, Lady Bird Johnson?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
She did that?
They were the first ones that
somehow
came up with that,
they came up with it in Texas, and they named it after her.
How about that?
Fiduciary Services North. So if you do want to get online with that, remember to enter the three W's to get there. www.fiduciaryservicesnorth.com. And also their phone number is, if you would,
231-421-3921.
3921. And you also wanted to give a disclosure here when we're talking about all this legal mumbo jumbo.
Yes, we are not attorneys.
Thank you.
So we do not give legal advice, and we always recommend that you do consult with your attorney.
Thank you. Great disclosure. So we're talking about estate settlement here, and you obviously have had a lot of experience with this. Serena, I was just looking at your notification here, your credentials. Brought her vast experience to Fiduciary North in July of 21. Prior to that time, you worked for a private client group of a large regional bank. It goes back 15 years, ranging from extensive work with trust professionals to performing a variety of banking and fiduciary services. So you've been at this for a while.
I have. But coming on with Brenda and Lisa has been a different experience. More hands-on I've been able to be now and learning a lot more.
A lot more stories, huh?
Yeah.
The other side of it all, in terms of estate settlement, is that the primary thing that you do?
Our focus used to be guardianships and conservatorships, because in the past, as we talked about before, banks, lawyers, CPAs were named in trust documents as the successor trustee for trusts.
Mm-hmm.
And they are getting away from that, and so we have taken on more, like a lot of trusts and estate settlements.
So in essence, if children traditionally might be named as a trustee of a trust or a spouse and then children, you might be named as a successor if the children don't have the time and or wherewithal to oversee this. Would that be a case where this could make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So that might be one. And or if there are no children, period.
Well, we have been really surprised, but we shouldn't be surprised. But we have so many people that come to us because they have moved here. They retired here. They have no children. They have no family in the area. They don't know anybody mm-hmm. who can take care of this for them the way they want it taken care of. And so we work with so many attorneys in the area that they suggest that they give us a call. Hopefully they'll give us a call and meet with us.
We do
have quite a few who our name ends up in their documents and we don't know it. Hmm. So that's a little scary when that happens.
So you'd recommend the opposite way. If they do want a successor trustee to sit down and talk with you in terms of an interview process.
Yeah. And we prefer that and like that because we want to get to know their wishes and intentions too. And although it can be spelled out in their estate planning documents or trust, to be able to meet that person and know that we're also there if they need anything.
That makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. So again, not just having the document, but hearing how that's going to work.
Exactly.
In many respects.
Exactly.
So it sounds to me like you work with the attorneys on an active basis too.
Yes. We have quite a few attorneys locally that we work with, and we get calls from what was Manistee or Miss. Do you remember?
Gratiot County. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Somebody out of Gratiot County. Oh, we had one out of Marquette, too, that called us.
You're getting more popular everywhere. I mean, you can't help it. So Fiduciaries North, FiduciaryServicesNorth.com. So estate settlement, number one. Trust administration, number two. What's that involved?
That would be us being a successor trustee
okay.
for the trust, yeah. And another thing that we offer, so a lot of people feel as though they still need to name a member of their family as a successor trustee, be it children, be it brother, sister, aunt, uncle, whatever. And so if they want to do that, that's great. But we also offer contract services where we can do all the legwork and the paperwork for them. Because a lot of people live out of state and they can't do all of that. So they will hire us to be their representative to get all of that taken care of.
That begs the question, how do you charge? How does it work?
We charge an hourly rate. It's very different than other like financial institutions that do this. So our current rate right now is $110 an hour, and we only charge when we're actually working for the trust or the estate or the person themselves.
Okay. So there's a fee. You work on a fee-only basis on an hourly rate.
Correct.
Okay. Good to know. court-appointed conservatorship. Tell us what that means. When, why would this be important or a part of your services, too?
That's how we actually started off the company, was mostly with conservator and guardianships. And a lot of times those come into play when you don't have your estate plannings, your power, medical power of attorneys, or your financial power of attorneys in place. Because when the time comes that you're no longer able to make your own decisions, if you don't have those documents, the court's got to step in and name somebody. And we get brought in either because there is no one that can take on that, or maybe there are issues within the family that nobody's able to act.
Or Adult Protective Services yes. has gotten involved for, like, elder abuse, financial exploitation, mm-hmm. things like that. We get quite a few scams. These people get scammed. They've given away all their money, and the court will bring us in to help preserve what's left of their assets.
So in an effort to try to protect these people from being further
yes.
stolen from, in essence,
yes.
they call you in
yes.
to help protect them and to keep this from going on. Mm. So in essence there, you have to take control.
Yes. A lot of people don't like it.
No, no, that's got to be difficult. Mm. You know, you're trying to satisfy a need there to protect that person, but they may not always appreciate that for sure.
Yeah, we've got a few that.
And a lot of times when we receive these people from the court or Adult Protective Services, they've already lost the capacity to tell us a lot of information. Mm. So a lot of times we are having to kind of piece together their lives and make decisions for them the best we can, because they didn't have anything in place to tell us what they had or wanted.
Wow. I mean, this is just, it's reflective of what's happened in the family units these days to me, and that we're not nearly, if you will, the farming type community where everyone lived, you know, within 1 or 2 mm-hmm. miles of each
and
other,
always
obviously.
Kept an eye on each other.
Yeah. Yeah. We're aware of what was going on. Mm-hmm. So it's just a reality of what's happening out there. That's amazing to me. Now, you've also, you made some comment about safety deposit box. I think you said the black hole of safety deposit boxes. So could you go into some detail about that, too? I thought that was an interesting comment.
Yeah, a lot of times when people are naming beneficiaries or thinking of assets or items that, you know, your executor or your trustee might need to access, they forget about the safe deposit box and how somebody might have access to that. We've come into quite a few instances where, you know, that's the only asset that needs to be probated or tried to be accessed. We've also come into instances where they name a joint person on the account just so that person can help them access it, not knowing that at the time of their passing, that person now owns that box.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's where titling, making sure all your assets are titled properly, either titled to the trust or the trust as a beneficiary, you know, somehow that needs to roll over into the trust, and you can have the trust named on a safe deposit box.
You can. The trust can be named on the safety deposit box, so it avoids then that whole probate.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting, too, when you were saying, like, if it was joint, like, say you have one of your kids on the safety deposit mm-hmm. box so they can get in, mm-hmm. but what you were saying is something happens to you, that whatever's in there becomes the property of
that one
joint.
Kid.
So you might have a lot of stuff in there that you want to disperse differently, yeah. Yeah. So then you would want to make sure it was either the trust or what... Not name somebody, or what's the best thing to do?
You've always got to watch with the joint accounts yeah. like that, because yes, maybe you have 4 other kids, but that one kid that's joint on the account now owns everything and technically does not have to share it with everybody else.
So unless he or she decides to gift, in yes. essence, to the other heirs, yeah. the other heirs are out because they own joint tenants.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And the same goes for like a bank account. Mm-hmm. So yeah. if you are on mom's bank account, just to make sure that you're keeping an eye on it and help in she passes, that's yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were talking about this the other day, and you had a recommendation or another option versus not having a safe deposit box, but another option.
A safe in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Yes, and just make sure whoever is going to be in charge of your trust or whatever you are doing for your plans, they either have a key, they have the combination, But we have found that works out so much better. I actually did have to break into a safe, though. So that was interesting.
It's a good skill to have.
Yes, I had a Sawzall. And I think Serena was really worried.
I stepped back a little.
Why are you going into this house with an acetylene torch is what I want to know. Yeah. Ron, we have a question.
We have a story, a real-life experience on the text line. 3 years ago, my mother passed, and as we settled up the estate, my sisters wanted a parcel of property. As the representative of the estate, I signed it over to them. But I made a mistake on the quitclaim deed, and I put it as my name, not the estate name. It also took over 2.5 years for my sister to file it before we found the mistake. How do I fix that now? And they say it was filed with probate right away, but not with the township till 2.5 years later.
Oh, my goodness. they need an attorney. Yeah, they need an attorney for that.
So the solve on that is see a good estate planning attorney.
Yes.
Because they're going to have to do up probably new, you know, either quitclaim deeds and get that corrected.
Or they might even have to open a whole new estate.
I don't think
estate
there's an
planning attorney. There are several good ones here. We often use Courtney Danbrook, if that's helpful. Mm-hmm. Courtney Danbrook with DAR Attorneys. And she's right
Marshall
there.
Marshall Bruce.
Yeah, or Marshall Bruce.
Kish Dykstra.
Yep.
All right.
Lots. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Thank you.
All right. If you're listening, you didn't write those down, you can call Prout Financial Design later, and they'll pass those names. The same person says, how much does a simple trust cost to set up? Simple trust. What's a ballpark on that?
About $1,800.
Okay. And let's see if we have, well, this is somebody, this is a texter, this is not an official person weighing. It says, in regards to the ladybird deed, only 5 states recognize it, Michigan, Texas, Florida, Vermont, and West Virginia. Only a direct blood relative who is the named beneficiary will enjoy that tax benefit when the property transfers.
Yes, it has to be a direct family member. Thanks for making that clear. Yes.
Oh, that's good information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. So we've got a story we wanted you to share, if you would, Lisa.
Yes. So
actual situation, obviously.
Actual situation. Unbeknownst to me, I was named in a gentleman's estate planning. I was named as his power of attorney, his medical power of attorney, his personal rep, and the trustee of his trust.
And you were unaware of this?
Unaware. Hmm. Unaware. And one day I got a phone call from a local facility, and he was in that facility, and he was telling them, you got to call this person. So I had... I had no idea. So I went over and met with him, and sure enough, I was the attorney had named me everything in his paperwork, and nobody had told me.
Wow.
So I started doing some work and had to go to his house, and I took Serena with me, and it was a horrible hoarder situation.
Oh.
Horrible. And in those situations, she always makes me go in first.
Yeah.
I've got your back.
Yeah. It was really bad. Really bad. And so I got things straightened out. It took a while to get his bank accounts taken care of, and he had everything just all over the place, but I was able to consolidate everything into a trust account. And we thought we had everything taken care of. But he had 14 vehicles.
14 vehicles.
Mm-hmm. And I could not do anything with those vehicles because they were all titled to him personally. Hmm. And since he had a trust and I was named the successor trustee for his trust, I could not sign over those titles to sell the vehicles. I had to open probate for that.
Wow. So what a hassle in terms of were these vehicles any good? Did they have any significant? No. So
no,
they were
even
junk.
To get a junk. Yeah, even to get a junk title, we had to do that. And, you know, he thought he had everything. He did have everything pretty much taken care of, but the vehicle situation was missed. And that's why we always tell people, make sure you know how your assets are titled. Mm. You cannot put a vehicle in a trust if you have a loan on it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can name your title for your vehicle can be put in the name of the trust if it is owned free and clear.
Yeah, if you own it outright. So what are the three things you want people to know generally?
Number one, make sure you know how your assets are titled, and they need to be titled to the trust. If your intention is for those assets to go into the trust, they need to be titled to the trust. Or the
to avoid probate and all the other things that can go along
right.
with that.
So you would say your vehicle's not owned by Ron Jolly. It's owned by the Ron Jolly Trust. Okay.
Yeah. But also with that one, talk to your attorney about it, because we do have attorneys like to do some of those things a little bit differently. But in our personal experience, and that's what we're going from, is it is just so much easier because we are not family members. So if a family member is your trustee, it's no problem because they can just sign it over. But we are not. So we can't do that.
But, and that kind of goes with not just vehicles, too, anything with a title to it. A lot of times people might have a boat or different things that has a title to make sure how those things are going to be passed down.
So they might be a surprise to you. You know, you need to think about the whole picture in terms of what are all the assets that need to be included in the estate, the boat, the cars,
savings,
the real
funds.
Estate. You said you wind up having to liquidate a lot of real estate, too.
We do. Mm. We do. Yes. And financial institutions that normally a lot of times get named as the successor trustee do not want to handle real estate. And so we do end up with, and we have a few right now that we actually have rental property that is going to continue. So successor trustees, we are going to have to continue to manage that rental property.
Or hire a management firm to do that.
Which we would do.
Yeah.
Yes. We're not at that point yet because they're still alive. Yeah.
Okay. So. Thank you. Third thing before we're done. What's the third thing? Did we get to it?
That's planning for your incapacity. You plan for right now. You plan for when you pass away. But what happens in the middle if you are incapacitated?
And nobody wants to think about that. We need to hear about this. And I'm putting myself in the front on this one in terms of what this is going to take. To me, this is a looming issue with the aging of our population, the relative independence of much of the population in northern Michigan, and just the realities of family and what can go on with those relationships. This, from a variety of standpoints, this information needs to be disseminated as good as possible. So, Fiduciary Services North, your phone number again, if you would.
231-421-3921.
And or www.fiduciaryservicesnorth.com.
Quick question on the title. Is there a place for a beneficiary to write in on a title? Question.
Title of real estate, then?
I don't know. Title or car, real estate, what?
No,
anything? No.
You wouldn't have a beneficiary on that. It would have to be titled to the trust.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
If it's a title on a car or whatever, you're not going to have a beneficiary name. Beneficiary only applies to IRAs, life insurance, annuities, other qualified types of accounts. If you have a question of us, of financial nature, where we might be able to help you, you've got questions regarding your own finances, and or might need some planning done, 231-947-3992. ProutFinancialDesign.com. And then thank you to both Lisa Lundy and Serena White. Mm-hmm. Great job, you two. Thank you for coming in and helping us with this interesting subject.
Thanks for
having us. You're welcome.
Fiduciary Services North is the company. The other thing I was going to remind folks, if you want to hear this program, if you just tuned in late or missed any bit, you can tune in Saturdays. It's repeated every Saturday at 9 a.m. And eventually some of these are on your website.
They'll be on our website, correct? And then podcast, Apple Podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, one and all. Dennis, Deanne, Heidi, Lisa, and Serena.